Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good week ahead with family and food and lots of football. And hopefully you insert in the middle of that some faith and you talk to your family about Jesus. What a great opportunity for us to share the love of Jesus and the spirit of Thanksgiving with our family and friends in the middle of all the food and all the football and all of the fun that we're gonna have together this week. And hopefully you get some time off with your family and your friends and you can really, really enjoy this time of year, which is my favorite holiday, by the way, because there's no gifts or presents involved. I just like showing up and eating and not feeling the pressure of all of those gifts. So I love, love, love Thanksgiving. And I hope that the spirit of Thanksgiving would come out in your life and your family this week. And in fact, that is the topic and title of my message this morning, the spirit, everyone say spirit, of Thanksgiving. No, you say that too. The spirit of Thanksgiving. The spirit of Thanksgiving. And I want to tell you where this sermon really started. And it started actually in a very peculiar spot. It started in Luke 15. I was in my daily devotions. I was reading through one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible in Luke chapter 15. We know that Luke 15 is just paramount because it talks about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the three lost things. And it really shows us the heart of God. But it dives into each of those stories, but it doesn't start there. Where it starts in Luke 15, 1 and 2, it reads like this. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. This is Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining. This is what they were complaining. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then Jesus jumps into these great stories of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, which would really personify his character, who he is, that he was all about lost things. He was all about salvation. He was all about freedom. He was all about going after the one that didn't know him to give them something they did not have. But in the beginning, in those first two verses, something leapt off the page like I've never seen before. And it might just be because that was where I was at in the day, my own personal struggles. It says that the tax collectors and sinners were literally seated around him, ready to receive, ready to hear, ready for life change. But the Pharisees and scribes, what were they doing? Complaining. Complaining. And it really jumped off the page at me. What were the Pharisees and scribes, what were they really complaining about? You see, they had this idea that everything in life was in two categories. It was either holy or unholy. And they themselves thought that they were holy, right? They had it all together by the outer appearances. They followed all the rules and all the regulations. And they would point the finger at the tax collectors and sinners, the unholy. And they would think through pride and self-deprecation that they were a little bit better than everybody else. And so they didn't like that the unholy was about to hang out with the holy. They didn't like that these tax collectors and sinners were standing there in the same room with them, in the same place with them, to hear the same powerful jewels of wisdom and treasures that Jesus were about to unveil. They didn't like this at all. In fact, if we're talking about a spirit, the spirit that was on the Pharisees and the scribes was actually not a spirit of thanksgiving. It was a spirit of hypocrisy, which was the greatest spirit that would collect themselves upon these people. Why? Because Jesus would nail them. He would hit them right between the eyes later with another parable, with another story. And he would say, you are like a whitewashed tomb. You're nothing more than clean on the outside and dead man's bones on the inside. You are like that stinky cup, that dirty dish in your sink. On the outside, it looks good and marvelous and squeaky clean, but on the inside, it's full of old spaghetti and soup and noodles, and it's all one big mess. I just couldn't help but get past why the disciples and these people collected around Jesus weren't enamored with a spirit of thanksgiving about what he was unleashing: freedom, deliverance, salvation, through the son, the sheep, and the coin. The people that should have been receiving him the most were actually complaining. And that is not the spirit of Thanksgiving. But we Americans, Kyle, we like to complain. And that's not what God intended for our lives. So let's look at Psalms chapter 100 at the Thanksgiving Psalm. It is literally the Psalm of Thanksgiving. This is where we're supposed to be. This is what is supposed to be our rhythm in life. It says this in verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. When you read this, it should automatically put a smile on your face. You should just automatically, electrically come alive, right? Because you're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, we do that on Sunday mornings, and this is why you come in, so that we can, through praise and worship, start the service through what? A joyful noise. Some are on drums. Bang. Some are strumming things. Some are singing things. Some are clapping things. There's one guy back there named Darnell that's controlling all of it with the rhythms and volumes of what we all hear. But all of it is an assignment from us to come into his presence with singing and noise and joy and big smiles on our face. And that's what the spirit of Thanksgiving does. And for us moving into this week, I pray that you receive the spirit of Thanksgiving like you've never received before. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There's that ownership, and there's that possessive spirit that we are to be thankful for. We are his sheep, and he's our shepherd, knowing that what? He made us, and we are his. Our identity is branded by him, and that nothing that faces us in life will ever be able to destroy us or conquer us or take us away from his love. We right here through verse 3 see that there is a spirit of thanksgiving there. I am yours and you are mine. And there is nothing that can take away that love, that passion, that relationship. You are the Lord. And there's where a spirit of thanksgiving comes. But here is the what and the why of why we give thanks. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. What do we go back to? Making some noise, clapping our hands, singing and shouting and being grateful for what? As we read in verse 1 and 2 and 3, that we are his and that he is God and that we are under his care as sheep in the pasture. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, knowing that he's in charge and he's in control, and that all of our works and all of our measures that we take in life, they will not amount to anything, knowing that he's in charge. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and bless his name. This verse 4 is the climax. This is the spirit of thanksgiving that he wants us to have. And then in verse 5, it ends like this. It gives us his resume, his goodness, the reasons for us to be thankful. It says again, for the Lord is good. Everyone say good. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is extended to all generations, to my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. His faithfulness is extended, and his love, as we just sang, it endures forever. This is the spirit of thanksgiving. And as we enter into this week, may these words ring about and echo in our ears. This is the direction God wants us, not a spirit of complaining. Isaiah chapter 61, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. It starts like this. It says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he says, he's anointed me to do all these great things. Because why? This is, you've read it before, this is the favorable year of the Lord. The Lord's wanting to do something. And wanting to do something, he empowers us. He gives us freedom. What does he do? He puts his anointing on us to start breaking off all the problems and start bringing solutions to the situations. It gets down towards the end of this wonderful passage of scripture. I'm not gonna read it all for time's sake, but it gets down and it starts showing these problems and then solving them, shows them these problems and solving them. In verse 3, it says this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You see, there's the exchange. I'm gonna give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What does it say there? It says that I'm gonna take off this spirit of heaviness, or one translation says despair. I'm gonna take off this spirit, and I'm gonna put on a spirit of what? Of happiness, of praise, of thanksgiving. He's making the beautiful exchange here, and he gives all of these rhythms, but I wanna focus just on that spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The reason why I titled this sermon The Spirit of Thanksgiving is because I believe it's a spirit. I believe that it's a spirit that can attach to our lives to give us a smile when we want to frown, that can give us happiness when we are tempted to be sad. I believe it's a spirit that can come upon your life. In fact, most of us know people that already have the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of praise, the spirit of joy upon their lives, don't we? It's just something different about them. You're like, man, they got the spirit of God upon them. And likewise, we can also see when other spirits have tried to attach themselves upon us at different levels and seasons of our life. The spirit of thanksgiving, why? Because there are other spirits like the Pharisees and the scribes had that tried to attach themselves upon them and upon us. There are four simple things, and I'm gonna move quickly through these. I don't have time to dive in and go super, super deep, but there are four enemies of thanksgiving that wanna steal, that wanna rob, that wanna take away from the thanksgiving and the praise that God wants us to have. The first one is, and watch out, it's the spirit of gossip. I'm gonna just read these to you. The gossiper is the one who loves to know the secrets of others so that they can be the one to share it. This is done with a sinful motive and without consent of the person to whom the information belongs. The gossiper likes to appear powerful or be the source of all knowledge to make themselves feel importante, important. There's pride there, but also under the pride, there's some insecurity. They will often put themselves in conversations to purposely gain information while simultaneously thinking in the back of my mind, you know, that's the way the mind works, right? Like we're really in the middle of this, but we're working on something way back here. They put themselves in conversations to personally gain information while simultaneously thinking about who they can share this big, juicy nugget with. Ooh, this is good. And you know, social media doesn't even help with this because it just fuels the fire of gossip all over the table in our lives. And we're crazy enough, we're lunatic enough, Larry, that we're willing to put it all out there. And so you put it out there and then somebody grabs it and then through a spirit of gossip, they go on and share it with people that it never intended to be there or with. God gives us a remedy to the spirit of gossip. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, he says this, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. The solution is that we don't blab our lips, loose lips sink the ship. The matter is what he says here in Proverbs 11, that if we're trustworthy, then we will conceal the matter. Not blab it to everyone else, but now blab it up to God. If we are really working in a spirit of thanksgiving and pushing off a spirit of gossip, which is so easy to collect itself upon us, then we know. Then we pray. If Eric comes to me and gives me information, my job then is not to release it to everyone around me. My job is through the contrast of the spirit of gossip is to take that in, to know what's going on in Eric's life, and instead of taking it horizontally, to take that vertically up to God and to begin to pray and begin to hold it between myself and him and begin to war with God to say, God, can you do this in his marriage? Can you do this in his home? Can you do this in his family? Can you do this in his workplace? But it's so easy for the spirit of gossip to come upon us, make us feel important, walk around and get information to then share with others to build our own little network of power. Ooh, that is anti the spirit of thanksgiving. The number two spirit that likes to collect itself upon us. Oh, I'm gonna get you with one of these today, at least one. It may be four for some of us. Number two, the spirit of judgment. The judge has a harsh, critical point of view. They often can't see the viewpoints of others because theirs is clearly the right one in their own eyes. They tend to see the mistakes of others and exaggerate them while excusing their own shortcomings. It's the reason why we like to put others down and judge them, because it makes ourselves, it builds our tower, our empire, our pride. It all swells up. You are doing this, which makes me look even better. And we start to compare and contrast, and this is not the heartbeat of God. They will often embellish their own knowledge in subjects as a way to defend their point of view or level of intelligence. Well, the spirit of judgment. It so easily hopped upon us and collects itself to us. It's easy to walk around and feel better about the person. And I'm not even talking about with just people in the church right here. I'm talking about with people at your workplace, your neighbors, your own family and friends. You see the spirit of judgment wants to jump upon us, and we're so harsh, we're so critical, we're so easy to slash and put down. But the remedy is in James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." The measure you dole it out is the measure it's gonna roll right back in. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So God has not called us to collect ourselves with the spirit of judgment. He's called us to collect our spirit with a spirit of mercy, of thanksgiving. In fact, when we step in and we operate in a spirit of judgment, we actually take on the role of God. And God is not happy, he's not pleased. We take away his role and we assume that same position and we begin to judge other people and become harsh and critical instead of looking at our own self and our own problems and our own issues and the plank and the speck that's in our own eyes. And God says, I'm not here for you to operate in a spirit of judgment. I'm here to you operate in a spirit of thanksgiving. Be thankful where you're at. Be thankful where you're going. Number three, we see this spirit of slander. Spirit of slander. The slanderer is someone who makes false statements for the purpose of damaging another person's reputation. This person will often make statements against those they are jealous of or envious of. They will try to get the attention off their own errors by making false claims about others. Whoa, here we go again. We're trying to puff ourselves up and push someone else down to make our own self look good. Well, all the while, God's just saying, if you would just come to me out of a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise, a spirit of gratitude, then I would what? I would put you on the surgery table and take care of you and your own issues and your own desires and let me take care of you. And I'll also have the ability to take care of everyone else. Here's the remedy. Proverbs 10:18 says this, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool." And the Bible tells us not to call other people fools, but it is here. He can call it, but we're not supposed to. He says, you spread this slander, you're operating in a spirit of foolishness. This spirit of slander wants to jump on you. And here's what slander does. If gossip hurts an organization, a group of people, gossip can destroy a family, it can destroy a company, your business. Gossip can destroy a church. If gossip destroys a body, then slander destroys an individual. You're all out attacking on one person. You got them right in the crosshairs, and you're them only, and you're going straight after them. Slander can actually destroy a person's life, their reputation, their name. All for what? You trying to be better about the false claims, the reputation of someone else. God did not call us to have a spirit of slander. He called us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. Number four, and it's the last one, it's the spirit of complaining. I told you I'd get us. And I just got me. This is what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing at the beginning of Luke chapter 15. They were just complaining. The complainer is someone who is always negative about the lives of others and their outlook on life. Everyday tasks that others don't think twice about are now something a complainer will focus slowly on, and they will not leave it alone. When asked if they're excited or hopeful, they find something negative to focus on instead. Am I talking to anybody? They often express their discontent and lack of heart of gratitude towards blessing. Man, it's a big one. But we're Americans. We got chat rooms. We got responses to everything. We can be so critical of Whataburger and In-N-Out and the grocery store and our job and our boss and our supervisors and our husband and our wife and our kids. We are in this culture built to complain and to be justified in it. So, but God has not called us to have a spirit of complaining. He's called us have a spirit of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of praise. You see, if the spirit of slander hurts an individual, the spirit of complaining, it only hurts you. It tears you apart from the inside out, and you and I were never happy. Even in the biggest, greatest joy, the biggest victories, you'll still find something to tear apart and be critical and complain about. And why is it we're like this? I remember when I was even a kid, man, I would play baseball, Little League baseball, and I knew my dad, after things were over, he would at least find something negative to talk about. I would get up there, strike out three times, then in that fourth time, hit the grand slam, right? I'm gonna knock it out of the park. And when I get back in the car, my dad's gonna talk about what? The three strikeouts and not the grand slam. And that's not just my dad, that's a lot of your dads too, and I've even been that dad as well. But it's just honest, it's this spirit that gets honest that we become so cranky, you get the burden of the saddle, you become frustrated like something's in the bottom of your shoe, and you just complain about everything. You walk into this church, you go to your own family, you have conversations with your husbands and wives. Whatever it is, you find something to be critical about. In James chapter 5, verse 9 says this, it says, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." And again, here we are. Instead of us improving ourselves and putting ourselves on the doctor's examination lab or table, instead of us doing, we point it at someone else and we complain about them, we make fun of them, we talk about them, we create false narratives of them through gossip, through slander, through complaining. We do all of these things to make us look better, to rise our own pride and self-esteem in life, instead of jumping into where God wants us to be, where he has for us a spirit of thanksgiving. You see, we were never meant to carry these things alone. The spirit of thanksgiving is where you're supposed to live. I want to ask Dave to come, and you're gonna take this podium. The worship team can come. And I've asked my friend Joel, Pastor Joel, to come and help me with this last illustration. The spirit of gossip, spirit of slander, the spirit of complaining, all of these things are designed to attach themselves to us. And as I begin to close this out, I'll just take that. As I begin to close this sermon out, I just saw this. I saw this. When I get ready to preach, I see things, and this is what I saw. When we are not operating in a spirit of thanksgiving, we have suits on that can collect themselves to these other spirits. And all of a sudden, what begins to happen, we make ourselves available and open for the people around us, for those spirits to jump on us. And if we're not operating in a heavy, heavy spirit of thanksgiving, then all of a sudden, what happens? The spirit of gossip in your workplace and in this church, it comes flying like a missile. Boom. And it collects itself upon you. Now, first of all, when Joel walked in with this suit on that receives these spirits, he looked pretty goofy, didn't he? I heard some of you already snickering and laughing. The fact is that when we're not operating in a spirit of thanksgiving, of praise, then all of a sudden we look pretty goofy. But you collect yourself with this spirit of gossip, and the next thing you know, you've got this big bubble on your outside, and you're starting to look pretty wild. You're starting to look pretty crazy. But then you keep going, and the enemy wants to come, and he wants to destroy your life. He wants to tear you apart. He wants to send these spirits, not the spirit of thanksgiving, but he wants to come, and he wants to send these spirits. And he has the spirit of complaining, and that spirit of complaining comes right there. Boom! Like a missile. And before you know it, you're collected with yourself with complaining and gossip. The enemy, he doesn't relent. And some of you in this room, and some of me, I'm walking around with two spirits attached themselves to me. But some of us, we got three or four things that we haven't dealt with. We haven't got on God's examination table. And now we got that spirit of slander. Something happened in our workplace. Somebody did us wrong. And before you know it, here comes another missile that's coming to sink. Boom. And these spirits want to attach themselves to us. So you had the spirit of complaining, the spirit of gossip, the spirit of slander. And what was that fourth one? The spirit of judgment. Yeah. That spirit of judgment wants to come in like the hottest one. And it's like a red missile coming in like a dart to take you out for the final count. And boom, it collects itself upon you. But the Bible says, as I read in Isaiah 61, that God came to give us a garment of praise and of thanksgiving, to relieve us of the heaviness and the despair. The fact is, when you're walking around with these spirits attached to yourself, first of all, we just look stupid. Second of all, these weights are too heavy for you to carry. The suit, the spirits are like humongous basketballs or soccer balls that have collected themselves on you. And third, everyone else can see it. You think you can hide that spirit of gossip that's on your life? Everyone sees it. That spirit of complaining, that spirit of judgment, that spirit of slander? No. Everyone can see it around. So you're walking around in this goofy suit. Why? With a weight that's too heavy and what everyone else can see. And the only way you're going to remedy yourself is this, is to disrobe yourself and operate in a spirit of freedom and a spirit of thanksgiving. So Pastor Joel, you're in this mode. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to get rid of this? You're going to try to take this out. So you're going to call a friend. And this is the best way to get it out because our friends already see these things on us. So we're going to call a friend. So I'm going to come over and I'm going to try to rip these off. But when I rip them, I've got to replace them. So I'm going to come. I'm going to try to get it off. I told you these spirits, pretty hard, right? So I'm going to try to come and get this off. Try to get it off. I'm going to try to come and hit it off. The problem is when I try to swipe it or hit it, they don't come off. I've got to literally come over and I've got to rip it off. And I got to rip it off. I got to rip it off. And lastly, I got to rip this last one off. And as I rip these spirits off, my friend's life together as partners in life, now he's got to disrobe and take this all off and replace it with what I started with today, and that is a spirit of thanksgiving. That is a spirit of praise. That is a spirit of joy and happiness so that you don't have to carry the weight and the heaviness God's put upon your life. So right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, right where you're at, this is the way we're going to end service today. We're going to pray. I would love for nothing more than today you to rid yourselves, to rip off the spirit of slander, judgment, gossip, complaining. And I know I've got a couple of those that I'm working on as well. I bet today we, the body of Christ, could join together and pray and we could see those spirits gone. We rip them off. We replace them with a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise, just in time for Thanksgiving. The outlook on life is going to look a little different. People are going to show up at that Thanksgiving table and say, what happened to you? What is going on in your life? Something has changed. It's because you got rid of the goofy suit. Say, God, I want a spirit of thanksgiving to invade my life. And here's what I want to do this morning. If you're here today, you say, Kyle, there's a couple of those things, those big soccer balls that have collected themselves on me, these spirits, and I want them off, I want them off, I want them off. And I want a spirit of thanksgiving to come upon my life today. I want the joy, I want the happiness, and I want the praise. I got to get rid of these things so that I can operate in the freedom you've called me to, the spirit of thanksgiving. If that's you, would you just stand on your feet right where you're at? I'm not going to call you forward. I just want you to stand, and we're going to close today, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that these spirits would get off in the name of Jesus. Like a missile, they came in, but with a word of prayer, they will dissolve. They will disintegrate. We're going to pray over these things today as we close. So if you're here and you're not standing and you need to, come on, stand up. You see that today you're not alone. There's already people standing. And the great thing is we don't have to distinguish with a check mark which one it is, whether it's judgment or whether it's complaining. But today you know that something in your life needs to change. You need to just kick it out. You need to rip it off. And today when you rip, you need to replace with the spirit of thanksgiving. So would you, standing right now, lift your hands to heaven? And would you just ask the Lord, through your own words, say, Lord, give me a spirit of thanksgiving. Just begin to pray that prayer right now. And me, God. Father, let it come down in this room. Like the rain that hits the earth, a spirit of praise. And Lord, as you give and you insert today that spirit of thanksgiving, I pray that you would remove those spirits of heaviness, the weight that we were not meant to carry, that you'd remove the things that other people see in our lives that ought not be there. And Lord, we've been nasty. We've tried to cover it up by being bigger and better and operating in pride in our lives. But today we come through a heart of humility and we say, Lord, no longer will we operate in a spirit of complaining, but no longer will we operate in a spirit of judgment or gossip or slander. Lord, today we need your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Come on, would you just say that as you're standing there? Lord, just forgive me for operating in those things. I didn't realize how big they've gotten. I didn't realize how bad they've gotten. I didn't realize I've been carrying it for so long. Today, God, I need the removal of that. And Lord, with just one word of freedom, would you speak freedom over our lives from gossip, from slander, from judgment, from complaining, being so stinking critical. And Father, let us take the weight off and walk in your spirit of thanksgiving. Because what you want to do is change the world and change the world through us. So today, come on, if you're standing, just keep praying, asking the Lord. Maybe you need to confess some of those things you said. Maybe you need to call out somebody's name right now. You've been slandering them. And maybe they don't even know it, but right now you can ask for forgiveness. Father, forgive me. Maybe it's to a group of people. Maybe it's to a family member. Maybe you need to go today and apologize to a husband or a wife. Father, today, freedom. No more. No more. No more. But we will stand with the spirit of thanksgiving. And we're so thankful for it, Lord. That you called us today. You showed us today. You put us on your surgery table today. And after today, everything's gonna be different. We're gonna swat down those missiles. We're gonna swat down those spirits. And we're gonna say, not anymore. Not today, devil. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, would everyone in this room, would you stand on your feet right now? And would you just lift your hands to heaven? And would you praise God and say, thank you, God, for what you've done in the lives and the hearts that are here. Thank you for hearing us and being with us. How many of you feel free today? You feel free. You feel free. Now let's take that freedom to our families, to our workplace, out into the streets, to your neighborhood, and let us operate in the spirit of thanksgiving. Knock down all those spirits, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you great, great peace. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.